Hello everyone. Welcome back to the new episode of Intellectual Property 101. I'm your host, Tushar Bhargav, co-founder of Mike Legal. In this episode, I have Mr. Rohan Rohatgi with me to discuss traditional cultural expressions and intellectual property. He's the founding partner at RSR Legal Advocates, a legal practice in Delhi, and is presently the vice chair of Indigenous Rights Committee at the International Trademark Association. Thank you, Rohan, for taking your time out from your schedule and coming on this show.
Thank you, Tushar. It's a pleasure being on the show.
So to begin with, what exactly is traditional cultural expression and how is it related to intellectual property?
So to start with, there is no particular definition of traditional cultural expressions worldwide. There are various domestic laws in various countries which do define traditional cultural expressions to a certain extent, or use other terminologies like intangible cultural heritage or indigenous expressions. However, at the international level, at the World Intellectual Property Organization, commonly known as WIPO, there has been an intergovernmental committee which has been working on developing a convention for a very long time. The IGC, which it is known as, is primarily working on three issues, which are traditional knowledge, traditional cultural expressions, and genetic resources. Mm-hmm. Now, vis-a-vis traditional cultural expressions, initially they were referred to as expressions of folklore. However, and the body is still known as the IGC on genetic resources, traditional knowledge, and folklore. However, certain countries had doubts about using the word folklore because in certain countries it had a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. Hence, the term traditional cultural expressions was introduced. Now, though the WIPO is still working on arriving at a definition which all countries agree to, however, as per the draft articles which were circulated in 2019, they defined the traditional cultural expressions as any forms in which traditional culture practices and knowledge are expressed, appear or manifested, the result of intellectual activity, experiences or insights by indigenous peoples, local communities and or other beneficiaries in or from a traditional context, and may be dynamic and evolving and comprise verbal forms, musical forms, expressions by movement, tangible or intangible forms of expression or combinations thereof. Now, this is the definition at this point of time stands. Certain of these words or sentences could be removed once they arrive at a definition which is agreeable to all countries. Now, basically what this means is traditional cultural expressions includes verbal forms. So, you know, verbal forms could mean things as stories, legends, popular stories, poetry, mm-hmm. riddles, and even words, signs, names, and symbols.
Right.
Vis-a-vis musical forms, these would include certainly songs, rhythms, and instrumental music. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, songs which are expression of rituals of communities or indigenous peoples, or I would say the tribals in terms of India. Mm-hmm. Vis-a-vis expressions by movement, you know, they could include dance, plays, ceremonies, rituals, games, traditional sports, traditional games, and even puppet performances. Now, some of these could be in a fixed format or an unfixed format. Mm-hmm. Vis-a-vis tangible forms, they could include, you know, material expressions, which are like art, handicrafts, ceremonial masks or dresses, carpets, architecture, you know, sacred places. So the list is endless and it will certainly be upon each country based on their tribes, their indigenous people and communities on what is really prevalent in that country to protect TCEs.
Right.
Now, this is broadly what covers TCEs. In certain mm-hmm. countries, TCEs form part of traditional knowledge. And even in India, even India's position has been that TCEs are part of traditional knowledge because somewhere they overlap. Now, right. What we need to understand here is in India's context, before we move on to the next question on its relation to intellectual property, vis-a-vis India, Indian context, you know, we don't use the word indigenous peoples because the stance, the official stance of the Indian government always has been that post-independence of India, all people, you know, who are resident in India are indigenous.
Okay.
Which is a bit different from how indigenous people are treated in other countries. For example, New Zealand or Australia, where indigenous people would primarily mean people who were the original inhabitants of the country.
Right.
Now, in our context, indigenous peoples would probably mean to include tribes, including scheduled tribes per the Constitution of India. In Northeast, they still refer to the tribals in certain places as indigenous peoples because they believe that in the Northeastern states, all these tribes are primarily people who actually are indigenous, though that is again something which is a matter of discussion. Vis-a-vis local communities, this would, you know, deem to include communities which are primarily non-tribal in nature. However, they could be developing various forms of expressions. Now, for example, if you go down to places like Gujarat, hand weaving is a very famous expression from that area, especially areas like Kutch. Right. Now, those communities are not really tribal in nature or indigenous, as we would say. However, they are still developing these expressions or forms of products. So local communities per se would include those kind of communities. Apart from these, which are the primarily the people who are the holders of TCEs, which are the tribals and these communities, there's also a word which is included, other beneficiaries. Now, other beneficiaries could also, you know, deem to include the governments or the country. Which would mean because there would be certain TCEs which are now in the public domain. And also TCEs where we do not know which community it belongs to. In certain scenarios, the specific country could be said to be the beneficiary of these TCEs. Now moving on to your next question on the relation of intellectual property with TCEs. As you would have noted, most of these forms and expressions include things which are primarily relevant under the copyright and the trademark regime.
Right.
Now, though there is a relation between these two, however, there are certain drawbacks of these conventional IP forms because these TCEs are generational. And, you know, as per the draft articles, it should be at least 3 generations old. Now, that could differ again country to country. However, that means when you say 3 generations, it would primarily mean, could mean at least 30 years, I believe.
Yeah.
And, or it could even mean 300 years. It all depends. That will be all dependent on how the country really frames this aspect of the law.
Right.
But the relevance and the connection with IP is felt because, you know, things like songs, dances, ceremonies, you know, expressions of arts like handicrafts are primarily what will be protected in the modern IPs as copyright.
Right.
However, since these will provide them only a certain number of years of protection, which they probably would have already crossed. Now, let's take an example of India, which says post the death of the author, plus 60 years. Now, the other issue that comes in here is these are community-owned expressions. So, right. There will be no single author in most of the cases. It would be the community who would be the author. Now, in such a case, how do you determine when did the author expire? Which is a bit difficult.
Right.
And that means once, even if you are able to determine that, that means once the 60 years are over, all these expressions become part of the public domain. And hence, right, they can be misappropriated and misused by either the companies or the artists, which could be something which could be, you know, damaging to the community who believe these are very sacred to them. Because do understand, most of these forms and expressions are connected to their gods, to the land. Mm-hmm. And that's where most of these originate from. So a misuse or a misappropriation of these could result in being hurtful or, you know, degenerating the community.
Right.
So it is very important that there is a protection of these TCEs. Apart from the issue in terms of the term of the copyright, the other issue that really comes in when we say vis-a-vis copyright is the requirement of fixation. The copyright law requires all the works to be fixated, which means it has to be on something tangible. Now, right, a lot of these forms and expressions, because they have been passed down from generations to generations, might only be oral in nature. Hence, the issue of fixation. Apart from that, as we already discussed, the ownership is community-based and not individualistic, as is the case with the copyright law. The other issue that comes in is, you know, that under copyright law, again, the two requirements are of originality, which again, these it could be considered to be not original,
mm-hmm,
because it has been developed by a community. Now, how do you protect that under the copyright law? These are issues which do come up under conventional IP laws. Hence, the need was felt to come up with a certain treaty or a convention, okay, even at the worldwide level.
Right.
I hope this answers your question.
Yes. So, but, you know, on this question, like you mentioned that this traditional cultural expression, they belong to the entire community. So, like, how do you go about identifying the true beneficiary of these rights?
Now, that would have to be a system which would have to be developed by the governments. Now, mm-hmm, let me give you one example vis-a-vis India. Now, when we talk about, let's talk about the tribal people. Now, there are two types of tribes in India. One which are scheduled by the center or the state. And there are also tribes which don't form part of these, which are not scheduled. However, they're still tribes, right?
Right.
Now, there are mechanisms where these tribes are registered with the governments. So you already have a database vis-a-vis the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of work has gone into the documentation and preservation of their cultural rights or traditional knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of database does already exist. And the only thing that is required to be done is that such a database would need to be made public to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
So that when a company wants to use such a work, how do they approach that community is the biggest issue one will face. Now, if the government can make those databases accessible, then the government can develop a mechanism. I understand there is a mechanism which does exist under the Scheduled Tribes and Other Traditional Forest Dwellers Act, which is commonly known as the Forest Right Act, where they do register their forest produce. And what is interesting under the Act is the forest rights also deemed to include their cultural intellectual property, which would loosely mean traditional cultural expressions. Now, there is not much data vis-a-vis these forest rights being really used by the tribes or other forest dwellers. However, it's an interesting aspect which I believe has not been looked into. people believe that there is no such law which does exist in India. However, this already forms part of the Act and the rules. But there is not much data available vis-a-vis use of these provisions in relation to the cultural diversity and intellectual property by the tribes or the forest dwellers. So the mechanism does exist, and we will have to look for communities who would have to apply to the government through maybe the panchayat or however it could be worked out. Mm-hmm. There would have to be a system which would have to be developed to identify the community, because a lot of this might also be available in the government records or might be available in, you know, private publications.
Right. Understood. And I think this could be if you remember, in terms of GI, which allows there are so many things that keeps happening in GI. The one of the interesting battle that happened was in terms of the Rasgulla, where Bengal and Orissa were got into this litigation that where it belonged. So at times, I'm sure, even in terms of these traditional cultural expressions, I mean, such sort of things might happen, like in terms of knowing that which community, this particular information came from which particular community or something like that.
Certainly, what you're saying, Tushar, is factually something which does happen and would happen going forward. Now, we do need to realize there's another issue that might arise. We're talking about only the country right now, right? There could be two groups of tribes or communities which would claim benefit to such expressions. However, there could also be a scenario where one community is in one country and another community in another country also claims right to such an expression.
Right.
Because as you would know, a lot of these tribes might not trace their origin to, let's say, for example, when we're talking about India, there are tribes which are known to trace their origins to Africa. Mm-hmm. Even with vis-a-vis a lot of these northeastern tribes, some of these tribes are known to have their origins in regions close to China, where some of them now form part of India, some of them form part of even Myanmar. So, right. Yes, these could be certain issues which would arise, and the law will have to deal with that. Now, let's say, for example, when the Basmati was applied for as a GI, there were various states which filed their application.
Right. True.
And even Pakistan, I believe, filed the application, because parts of Punjab, which now fall in Pakistan, also cultivate Basmati.
Right.
So the GI Act does provide a model. However, it will not be sufficient to protect all the TCEs. For example, you could still protect things like handicrafts, mm-hmm, or various other goods. But again, we're talking about only goods. We are not talking about a lot of the other expressions which might not form part of what is known as GI. And mm-hmm, the other issue with GI is it's only based on geography.
Right.
It's not based on the community. And right. That is an issue in terms of the conflict between GI and TCEs. So GI law, to an extent, does protect various aspects of TCEs, mm-hmm, in India. And there have been various studies in various parts of the country to protect what could fall under TCEs. However, it is not sufficient. We need more than the GI law to protect these TCEs in the country. Going on from there, I would just, diverse a bit and let's understand what are the issues that could be faced.
Right.
One is, how do you protect rights of the communities? Hmm. Two is, how do you restrain others from misappropriating and misusing that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for all this, you would need a database.
Right.
Now, the first thing that needs to be done is there has to be a comprehensive database which can be relied upon and probably has to come from the government.
Right.
Right. There already is a lot of data which is available. However, I think that is not sufficient. We need to do more. Mm-hmm. Now, let's take an example. When we talk about trademark law, now communities can still apply for a trademark if, you know, they're developing something new. Right. They can apply for it as a collective mark, for example.
Right.
That provision does exist in law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about a right holder who applies for a trademark, which, let's say, if it's a word mark, the word mark has a component which has a reference to a tribe or a community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or to a word which is used by a tribe or a community, or a logo which they apply for, which has, symbol that the tribes or the communities use. Now, mm-hmm. how does the trademark office, or even that applicant when he's applying for a trademark, determine whether this or something identical or similar does exist as a TCE? There is no publicly available data for that. Now, how do I find that out? Correct?
True.
So for me to do that, for me to carry out a risk analysis before filing that application, I do need access to a database. So I think when we're talking about the law being made, I think the first most important issue that needs to be dealt with, and I would say that world over, is developing a database.
Right.
Develop a database vis-a-vis these names and symbols and signs and words when we're talking in context of trademark law. And once that database is available, certainly there would be exceptions to that database. Now, even the draft of the IGC deals with what are known as secret TCEs. There could be secret TCEs which cannot be made public.
Right.
And it cannot be used by any other party. So mm-hmm. the problem here that really does arise is that will not form part of the database, fair enough. Now, if I adopt something unknowingly and start using it, how would I know that it is a secret TCE? Now, that community can come against me and say, you know, you are infringing our rights.
Right.
However, I do not even have knowledge of that right being existent and belonging to that community. So these are some practical issues which have arisen, and you would be surprised that it has taken almost 20 years and they're still developing drafts. So this is a very, very technical and something which is very meaningful to the the indigenous people and the communities. So you have to take into consideration their sentiments as well when you're developing these drafts. And they have to be read in with the UN Declaration of the Rights of the Indigenous People. So this will certainly take some time, but there are various domestic laws which exist in a lot of the South American countries like Peru, Ecuador. They either have sui generis laws, or they have incorporated laws sections within their existing conventional IP laws to protect these. For example, in New Zealand, the Maoris are known to be the indigenous people of New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have laws which talk about misuse and misappropriation of the Maori TCEs. TCEs might not be the word that they use, but that is what it refers to.
Right.
And the trademark law has, like, for example, here in India, we have a Section 9 for absolute grounds of refusal. So mm-hmm. one of the absolute grounds in New Zealand, interestingly, is where that mark belongs to the Maori community. Oh. That also is an absolute ground for refusal, interestingly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, like I said, there are various laws which exist around the world. For example, in Australia, there is a sui generis law which protects the intangible cultural heritage. Now, various laws are in the drafting stage or pending before parliaments of these various countries or have been enforced. If you look at the African countries, you look at the South American countries, you look at the Pacific, even in certain Asian countries, there are various laws which do exist, and a lot is being done even at the regional level. For example, you have the Aripo protocol in mm-hmm. Africa, which deals with TCEs. So it's interesting, but each country, each region has its own law. It works according to the local mechanisms there. The development at the WIPO will really help in making this standardized across the world.
Mm-hmm. No, it's, you know, you rightly pointed out, like, it's extremely important for, you know, these drafts to ensure that the rights that, the actual owner of those rights, they are able to get the protection perfectly, because whenever you start giving rights, it becomes a challenge, or, it becomes extremely important that no other corporate in terms of benefited, because I think I was reading about, the different type of traditional knowledges and their examples. I came across this one sports drug called Jeevni, which is made from a plant called Arogya Pacha, something like that. Right. This was made from the know-how of Kani tribes. Now, basically, these tribal people shared their information with the scientists, like, you know, usage of this plant and how they were already using those drugs. And right. Now these scientists have filed for patents with respect to this.
Dushar, that's a good point you've raised, but I think you would be aware, India was one of the first countries which came out with a traditional knowledge digital library. Which basically is a database vis-a-vis traditional knowledge.
Okay.
And this basically was a result of the Basmati and the Neem cases that went around the world.
Right.
And I'm not aware if it includes the TK that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. However, that database is a model database for other countries to develop now.
Okay.
And also, the Indian Patent Office has tied up with various other patent offices like the European Patent Office, the USPTO.
Okay.
And this database has been made accessible to all these patent offices. So if anybody files a patent anywhere around the world where this database is accessible, mm-hmm. when they carry out a search post-filing mm-hmm. of the application, mm-hmm. when these applications are actually examined, they can get to know if the patent has any component which is already part of the TK of India. And that is a ground also for refusal for these applications.
This is good then. This is really need of the hour, because otherwise people, you know, because corporates are known to basically hamper the rights of the people, and this is perfectly fine then. And so are there any examples where these traditional cultural expression were granted protection under existing laws of any country, and the specific community was able to benefit from the same?
I, to be very honest, I'm not very well aware of the same.
Okay.
But there have been cases where they have won in the courts of law in Australia specifically. Various cases in Australia where they have been able to enforce their rights without actually having protection.
Right, because even I was reading about certain interesting traditional knowledge and, cultural expression, like, say, Kathputli, which is... which is provided by, I think they have the GI to Ministry of Textiles, but they also classify that as a traditional knowledge. But I'm not sure that, they're like how the community as a whole is able to make the most out of it or to commercialize.
Right. In most of these cases, what usually happens that government is not the beneficiary. The government is primarily more like a medium to assist the community.
Right.
To pass on the benefits to the community. Now, when you're talking about examples, something which happened a few years ago involved a very well-known Indian footwear company. It's actually not an Indian footwear company, but I think everybody confuses Bata to be an Indian footwear company.
Yes.
So, interestingly, they came out with a series of slippers under, I think the range was known as the Pata Pata series.
Okay.
Now, as part of the Pata series, they imposed designs onto the slippers. Now, one of these designs belonged to a tribe in Maharashtra, which is famously known as the Worli tribe of Thane.
Okay.
Now, this is a very famous design which you would find at a lot of places where the dancers are in a circle with huts and showing around. And it's a very, very famous design which is, I think, copied a lot as well.
Okay.
Now, though it's copied a lot, but it's probably, not done at such a scale which Bata did, and because of it being a prominent company as well. So when they came out with this series, they imposed those images onto their slippers. Now, that design is not just something which is a design for the community, it has regional significance as well. Sorry, I meant religious significance as well
Right.
to the community. There was a lot of uproar in the community, and there were a lot of online petitions which were created by the community or people who sympathize with the community, and it talked about this being a certain case of infringement of their theses. Now, I'm not well aware of whether these were now then taken down by Bata or they went to court with it, but this was a case which is a sheer example of misuse of and misappropriation of the traditional cultural expressions of a tribe. Now, had they sought permission from the community and given them certain benefits that they were getting out of it, probably yes, they could have done it, but I doubt because no community would allow any such symbols which have a religious significance to be put on slippers.
Of course.
So that is one of the cases, the famous cases that I have come across. There would have been various other cases in India. Now let's talk about, when you talk about movies, you would see a lot of the tribal dances, a lot of the tribal music copied, a lot of the music which belongs to certain communities which is copied
Right.
by the music directors. Probably these communities, sorry, don't want to take an action, or something is done behind the scenes, we do not know.
Right.
But it's really prevalent in the entertainment industry and other industries as well. Let's, for example, take the textile industry, the garments industry. You would find a lot of the fashion designers copying various designs which probably belong to tribals or communities where they might have taken approval of the community, but in majority of the cases that is not the case.
Right.
So this is one example of the industries not being really they're not really respecting the rights of these communities, and I think it's required that the law provides for such provisions, and even the industries and these services also become a bit more respectful towards these expressions.
Right. So, has India passed any act to protect traditional cultural expression, or even if they are working on anything like that, if they haven't passed it already?
So, Tushar, vis-a-vis an act to actually protect TCEs, there's nothing which exists as on date. However, in the previous session of the parliament, Sri Piyush Goyal, who is the Minister of Commerce and Industry, under which the formulation of IP policies and law falls, did state in a answer to one of the parliamentary questions that they have started working on it, and a basic research has been carried out, and I'll share that paper with you. It's available online, a
Okay.
scooping paper in terms of India's position on TCEs. I think this is the first official document that I've come across from the Indian government which talks about TCs. So certainly it's a good development.
Definitely, definitely.
The Constitution does provide for the directive principles to respect the, you know, the rich cultural heritage of the country. So we could assume that TCs form part of that. There is nothing in the Constitution otherwise, though interestingly, if you would note, under Schedule 5 and 6, which deal with the tribals, mm-hmm. and various sections of the various articles of the Constitution, which deal with, like, for example, Nagaland, have provisions which deal with the customary laws and practice of these communities. Now, they cannot be governed by the central government. That can only be done by the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, these communities have actually developed some laws locally, which, for example, the Khasi Hills mm-hmm. have developed an act known as the Protection and Promotion of Khasi Traditional Medicine Act 2011.
Okay.
Even in Telangana, the state government in 2017 came out with a Telangana Heritage Protection, Preservation, Conservation and Maintenance Act 2017,
okay.
Which also deals with intangible cultural heritage.
Okay.
So apart from that, even in the Andaman and Nicobar Islands, there's a protection of Aboriginal tribes regulations, which deals more with their protection and not really to do with the TCEs, but I think it forms part of that as well. Apart from that, as I mentioned earlier, the Forest Rights Act certainly deals with it. However, I think not much emphasis has been given to that provision. Probably we don't even need to get in a new law at this point of time and use the provisions available with the Forest Rights Act. What is required, yes, is probably if some amendments to the existing conventional acts like the Trademark Act, the Copyright Act, to deal with the TCEs. Interestingly, if you would know, India was one of the signatories to a resolution regarding Berne Convention, where they wanted even folklore, the performers of folklore, to be included in the definition of performers.
Okay.
Though our act does not provide for that, however, India was a big proponent of that. Apart from that, in the existing laws, let's say under the Copyright Act, there's a provision regarding unpublished works, or where you do not know the anonymous.
Anonymous. Yeah.
So we could even use those provisions to protect TCEs or make them available to the public where the communities are not known, like what was your question some time back.
Right.
So I think we can certainly use what is available, but I think it's not going to be comprehensive. The other issue that is there is that these laws are not comprehensive in nature. Now, vis-a-vis these tribes and communities, IP forms a big part of their lives, but it's not the only issue they're dealing with. There are various other issues that they deal with. Now the question is, do we need a law which deals with all of these aspects together, including IP, or do we need a law which deals specifically with IP, or do we need to just amend the existing laws? Now that's again a big debate that's happening at the worldwide level and even at the level, regional level, and even at the country's level. So that also is a big debate that's going on, that do you need a sui generis law to protect TCEs, or do you need to just amend the existing laws to protect TCEs? Interestingly, there have been various bills introduced as private members bill in the parliament in the last few years, which have dealt with this aspect.
Okay.
For example, even Mr. Shashi Tharoor introduced a bill, I think, in 2019, which was tabled as the Promotion and Protection of Intangible Cultural Heritage Bill 2019. Way back in 2010, there was an attempt at the government to introduce protection of TKs and TCEs under the Biological Diversity Act. There were rules introduced which were known as the Draft Protection, Conservation, Effective Management of Traditional Knowledge Relating to Biological Diversity Rules. However, I think there was a strong objection because they said this went beyond the primary legislation, so these rules were never introduced. But what was interesting is it gave us a peek into the government's stance on protection of TKs and TCEs.
Right. Now,
in India, there has been no specific even draft which has been introduced for TCEs. We've always said that TK itself includes TCEs. It's a part of TK. We don't need to separate these two. So okay. That is another question that is also having a lot of deliberations around the world.
Okay.
The other thing that needs to be done maybe is the government's been working on a draft tribal policy for a very long time. And I understand in one of the drafts, protection of their TCEs vis-a-vis intellectual property was also one of the proposals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are some of the measures that have been taken by the government. Apart from that, even the National IPR policy of 2016 dealt with this aspect. So certainly the government is looking at somewhere protecting TKs and TCEs.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly it's a matter of time before we have it.
Great. Yeah, makes sense. And I feel that, in my opinion, making amendments to the existing acts will be way faster to include protection around that. Otherwise, I mean, the delay might happen. I mean, we don't know how long it will take to have this.
Certainly, but as we discussed, it will only deal with certain aspects. It might might not deal with the purpose of protecting these TCEs. It might deal with, let's say, for example, the Trademark Act.
Mm-hmm.
It can't really give a protection per se to all these TCEs. There would have to be an act which is going to protect these TCEs. Now, the Trademark Act can have defensive protection vis-a-vis that, where provisions are introduced for stopping others from registering such TCEs, like we discussed earlier.
Right.
Same for the Copyright Act. But I think it has to be a comprehensive effort where everything has to be taken into perspective and then only legislation is introduced. But I believe what will eventually happen is that the countries might wait for the IGC drafts to develop into a convention or a treaty and then enforce those as their own domestic laws, is what I foresee, which means another number of years.
Thank you so much. This was really informative, and I appreciate you taking time off from your busy schedule for doing this episode.
My pleasure, Tushar. My pleasure. And I'm happy that there's more awareness about these TCEs and TK now that there was some time back. And with the government also acting on it, I think it's just a matter of time before we really have these provisions into our own laws.
Definitely. And hopefully people will become more aware about these rights and will start reading more about them. Primarily because, at least in India, diversity is such that every region has its own heritage, and it's extremely important for people to know about them.
Certainly. You know, we constitute around 8% of our population is tribal as per the last census in 2011, which probably might have gone up, I'm assuming. But
right.
there is a huge population which whose rights are being misused and misappropriated without at times their own knowledge.
Right.
There are various issues that need to be dealt with, and not just vis-a-vis IP laws. Now the other issue that comes up is if there's an infringement, how do you deal with it? Because a lot of these tribes and communities might not have the financial wherewithal to fight these companies or individuals in a court of law. So we need to also think about developing maybe an ADR mechanism for right. such disputes.
One of the dispute, I think, that involved this latest song from Badshah also, where he allegedly copied it from some folklore or some folk artist.
Certainly, yes.
So all these things, yeah. I mean, and
that is a clear. That is one of the most recent examples of there being an it being a clear-cut case of infringement. However, like we said, now because there was no awareness of this right belonging to somebody. The biggest problem in all this is, even if you develop laws and how do you enforce these without the availability of a database for someone to access and find out if this right belongs to someone or not? And if it does, how do I procure that right, a license? So I think the biggest thing that needs to be done, even before the law comes in probably, because it's easy to bring in the law, but how do you enforce the law if there is no such availability of database or it's all across the place?
True. Having the central database, obviously, it makes sense. I mean, that is something that has to be done.
And also what can be done is something. So there's also a UN Convention on Intangible Cultural Heritage, which where, you know, there's an overlap between the Intangible Cultural Heritage and TCEs. So India has, where you would have heard, you know, that there's a proposal that Durga Puja, Ram Leela, all these are designated as intangible cultural heritage of India, apart from other intangible cultural heritages. There's actually a scheme of the Ministry of Culture regarding this for these intangible cultural heritage. Yeah, now I just got the name. It's known as a scheme for safeguarding the intangible cultural heritage and diverse cultural traditions of India. So this again is a scheme which is available by the government. They actually have a database of thousands and thousands of cultural heritage and traditions, along with the name of the community, along with the recording of, let's say if it's a tribal dance, along with the tribal dance being shown how it is. So the government obviously is doing a lot, but because also of the country being so large and the population being so huge, it certainly is going to be a difficult thing to do.
Of course. Hopefully in coming years, I mean, things will change and there will be a centralized registrar or some development in this front.
Certainly hope so too.
thank you so much once again for your time.
Thank you, Tushar. It's a pleasure and all the best. I hope everyone's doing fine right now with the ongoing COVID pandemic.
Everyone is staying home and staying put, waiting for the more directives and waiting for this virus to, you know, just go away.
Certainly, who knows, we might get some traditional knowledge to really heal it.
Definitely.
Thank you, Tushar. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone.